Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Renesas Industries Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors LLP. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Selena Sheikh from Go India Advisors LLP. Thank you, and over to you.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Renesas Industries Limited Q3 and 9-month FY26 earnings call hosted by Go India Advisors. We have on the call Mr. Rahul Kejriwal, Whole-time Director, Mr. Deependra Panda, CFO, and Mr. Rohit Darji, CS. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore moved in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. We now request Mr. Rahul Kejriwal to take us through the company's business outlook and performance, after which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the earnings call of Renesas Industries Limited for our Q3 FY26 results. I hope you've had the chance to review the investor presentation and financial results, which are now available on the exchange. On this call, we will provide an overview of our financial and operational performance, discuss our strategy roadmap, and outline our growth ambitions. At its core, Renesas is built on a strong foundation. We are India's largest and one of the earliest manufacturers of control cables. However, the company today is very different from what it was even a few years ago. We are steadily transforming into a technology-oriented mobility solution provider with capabilities that now extend across the complete mobility value chain. This transformation, which we refer to as Renesas 2.0, is already visible in our product mix, customer engagement, and strategic investments. Larger OEMs have reported higher volumes and record sales, reflecting strong underlying demand. We maintain long-standing partnerships with major OEMs in this space, and as an EV-agnostic partner, are actively collaborating with them on new product development. Riding on this positive momentum from OEMs, we are all positioned to benefit from improving demand conditions supported by a gradual recovery in rural consumption, a strong pipeline of new launches, increasing prematurization, higher disposable incomes, and a growing preference for performance-led and fuel-efficient vehicles. Before turning to company-specific performance, I would like to briefly touch upon the broader industry environment, which continues to be supportive to the Indian auto and auto component sector. The Indian auto ancillary industry is currently positioned in a favorable demand upcycle supported by steady OEM production, rising replacement demand, and increasing component content per vehicle. In FY25, the sector recorded an estimated turnover of rupees 6.7 lakh crore with an export of $23 billion, highlighting India's growth importance in the global automotive supply chain. Industry growth is expected to sustain at 7%-9% over the medium term, driven not just by volumes but also by higher value-added content. A key structural driver remains electrification. EVs typically require higher electronic control, lighting, and precision-engineered components compared to ICE vehicles, resulting in higher content per vehicle. Alongside EVs, increased adoption of safety, emission, and control features is enabling component suppliers to grow faster than underlying vehicle production. The policy environment remains supportive. Government initiatives such as the expanded PLI scheme, localization incentives, and infrastructure-led growth are encouraging capacity expansion and technology investments across the sector. These measures are accelerating the industry's transition from conventional manufacturing to advanced export-oriented engineering solutions. From a global perspective, a recent development has been the India-US agreement to reduce tariffs on select auto components from 50%-18%. This is a very meaningful positive for Indian auto component exporters, as the US remains one of the largest and most strategic export markets. The tariff reduction materially improves price competitiveness, enhances margin potential, and strengthens India's positioning as a preferred sourcing destination for global OEMs and Tier 1 suppliers. Overall, the combination of demand upcycle, rising content per vehicle, supportive policy measures, and improving global trade dynamics provides a strong and durable growth backup for the Indian auto ancillary sector. Turning briefly to the policy environment, the Union Budget provided a supportive backdrop for the auto and auto component sector, particularly in the content of electrification and infrastructure-led growth. From a product standpoint, Remsense is well positioned to benefit from these shifts. Our expertise across control cables, jacks, winches, and pedal boxes enable us to capture higher content per vehicle as OEMs increase feature intensity and platform complexity. With India continuing to be the world's largest two-wheeler market, export volumes beginning to show signs of recovery, we are seeing meaningful opportunities to deepen our presence in both domestic markets and key export geographies. Coming to the key updates for the quarter, during Q3 FY26, we continue to strengthen our growth through a combination of capacity planning and fresh order wins. As part of our expansion roadmap, we identified an additional 20,000 square feet of land in the NCR region, which will support future capacity augmentation and long-term initiatives. On the order front, we received a 60 crore order from a leading Indian commercial vehicle OEM for supply of gear shifters and push-pull cables. This order is scheduled to commence Q1 FY27 and will be executed over a 5-year period, providing strong long-term revenue visibility in the domestic CV segment. Beyond the quarter, progress across our three strategic initiatives remains on track. Execution of the 300 plus crore multi-year Stellantis contract in North America is proceeding as planned, with supply set to begin from the next financial year across smart cars, Jeep models, and the three-wheeler segment. Our newly commissioned 30,000 square feet locomotive manufacturing facility at Chakan is progressing as per plan and marks a meaningful expansion of our capabilities into regular operations. In terms of global order execution, we continue to see steady progress across the portfolio. The 12 crore B lighting order from a German OEM is under active execution, while the 3 crore EGR sensor order from another German OEM remains on track with delivery in December 2025. On the international front, a technical license agreement with Osus Automotive in Brazil is progressing smoothly, giving us insight into the Brazil domestic automotive OEM and aftermarket. And we are trying to figure out our inroads into them through our technology partners. Collectively, these initiatives reflect our continued diversification across railways, electric mobility, and lighting, while reinforcing a focus on premiumization and exports. With exports contributing 33% of Q3 sales, we remain well positioned to deliver a 20+ CAGR as well as progress towards our 900 to 1000 crore revenue target by FY29. To sum up, FY26 is shaping up to be a pivotal year for Remsense, with strong early momentum supported by large order wins, deeper global engagement, and steady execution across new verticals. Our recent initiatives underscore the strength of our strategy to diversify intelligently, scale internationally, and stay closely aligned with the evolving mobility landscape in line with the Remsense 2.0 roadmap. With these drivers in place, we are confident of steadfastly improving profitability and expanding EBITDA margins to a 13 to 14% range while maintaining a focus on long-term sustainable value creation. On the financial front, on a consolidated basis, revenue from operations for Q3 FY26 stood at INR 123 crores, registering a healthy year-on-year growth of 20%. EBITDA margins for the quarter were at 12%, while a profit after tax delivered a margin of approximately 4%. Revenue at 9 months FY26 consolidated stood at 338 crores, a 25% growth year-on-year with EBITDA margins of 11% and PAT margins of 4%. Despite our continued expansion into new business segments and ongoing CAPEX commitments towards capacity augmentation, our new product launches, we have maintained a strong and disciplined balance sheet. Our net debt-equity remains comfortable at 0.63x, and we remain committed to operating within this leverage going forward. With that, I would like to conclude my remarks and open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Disha from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. So firstly, sir, on this Stellantis order, you mentioned that the supply is expected to begin from the next quarter. What sort of revenue are we expecting in FY27, and how would this ramp up be for this execution of this order?
Which one are you talking about?
The Stellantis order.
Yeah, so this will commence from Q2 of FY for this financial year. And we see about maybe 15 to 20 crores of it materializing in this financial year.
And then going ahead, this is going to be the
number? No, so this is on a half yearly basis. So going forward, next year it will be about a 40 to 50 crore annual run rate.
Yeah, that's what I meant. So 40-45 crore annual run rate, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so we've seen margin improvement quarter on quarter, and that is with this product mix evolving, we see the value added share increasing. So what sort of targets you have for value added versus this commodity products for FY27 and going ahead? And where would you like to see this number? Say by FY29?
So like I said, you know, we will see in overall we want to see an EBITDA of over 13-14%. Now that will be a journey over the next 2 or 3 years. Because already, although we are changing the product mix, it's not going to be so drastically changing, every year. So the legacy products with the commodity products is still the largest pie, and we are now slowly looking to move from there, or enhance productivity and enhance profitability from there as well. So, like I said, on a 2 or 3 year basis, we'll see 13-14% EBITDA.
Okay, 13-14% EBIT. Okay. And so just for the export and the domestic mix, I think this quarter, for this 9 months, it was around 23-67%. Where do we see this mix heading towards, given the trade deals and the tariff announcement? How do you read the overall export environment?
So from a percentage standpoint, we are growing both domestically and exports. So, it will not be that just we are growing in one sector. So the percentage may not change so drastically. Or, conversely, but the numbers in both the exports and the domestics both will increase simultaneously.
So this sort of share we can maintain this sort of share, right? 40.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. 40-60.
Yeah. 30-70, 40. Yeah. And just on the CAPEX, so for this NCR, what sort of CAPEX are we planning?
Right now, for which? For the capacity? For the capacity expansion that we're putting
in? Right.
So that will not be a very large capex. It will be somewhere close to about 3-4 crores.
Okay. And how much have we done till now, the capex for this year?
I think we've done about 15 to 19 crores so far.
And what are we planning to end this year? And are we planning some more in this year?
A little more. We have just about 1.5 months to go, but I think the 1.5 months will take at least 5-7 crores or more of CAPEX.
And so for the next year, any sort of guidance you have for the CAPEX number?
We are still formulating that, but it should be close to 20 crores plus.
20 CR plus?
Yeah.
Okay. And so just on the last question from my side, on the Brazilian partnership, What sort of revenue potential you see here? What sort of margins? What sort of synergy benefits are you seeing here? If you could just elaborate a bit on that.
So right now we are studying the markets. We are quoting for programs which will be in delivered within Brazil. Right now, so it will be not at a very, very some superlatively high margin, but at least it will bring us inroads into the market, which is virgin for us at this point of time. So it, however, it would take about a year, year and a half before we see some actual deliveries happening into that market. The waters are being tested at this point of time, and even our collaboration is, being put to the best case scenario use as to what is the best scenario. Are we supposed to export from India? Are we supposed to do a hybrid between export and some part of it made there, or should we make it there? Everything is being is open and on the table right now.
But so any sort of number you like to put on the size of like the opportunities you
not at the moment.
Okay.
Not at the moment. Maybe after about 3 months, I should be able to put some numbers.
Sure. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask questions, you may press star and one at this time. Our next question comes from the line of Shyam Sampat from MSA Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. Firstly, congratulations on a good set of numbers. I wanted to understand first, sir, on our current asset base, what is the level of revenue further that we can achieve? And for our future goal of the 900 to 1,000 crores of revenue that we are targeting by FY29, what capex do we plan to do additional for that?
So on our current asset base, we will be able to get a fair bit of revenue in the sense, I think reaching about 600 to 650 crores is minimal. So it's not the current asset base will deliver all that. So incremental capex will need to be done to the current asset base also to achieve this. So as far as the 900 to 1,000 crore revenue is there, we've already put up a bulletin saying that 100 crore of investment would be required in there. And we maintain that, which also includes inorganic acquisitions on our way to achieve that journey.
Okay, so 100 crores, which includes inorganic acquisitions and capex to achieve 900 to 1,000 crores by FY29. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, sir. Sir, and can you give a rough split of how much you're targeting for the organic and inorganic to achieve this 900,000 crores figure? Like how much is dependent on acquisitions?
Maybe about 150 to 200 crores will depend on acquisitions, and the rest 800 to 850 would be through organic growth.
Okay, all right, sir. Sir, and how do we look at our margin expansion plan? Are we trying to continue focusing on getting better orders from better customers, or do we want to also get into backward integration, going up the value chain, or in some other way to expand margins?
No, we are doing forward integration. We are adding systems rather than components. So, and we are trying to do a product that are technology more driven and have low entry barriers, have high entry barriers actually. So that way we are trying to expand our margins with a little bit of a change in our product portfolio.
Sir, I didn't get the last bit. Could you repeat that? Change in?
Something. We are trying to do a little bit of a change in our product portfolio to add value-added products and go up the value chain by adding system supplies rather than component supplies.
Okay, sir, got it. Sir, and with the geographies that we deal with, right, we have BEE Lighting in UK, we have Uniotronics, we have Aircom, Daichi. So these are all different, like diverse geographies. So I just wanted to understand what challenges could we face what roadblocks might we face to operate efficiently and without compromising on our focus on the core product portfolio.
No, whether it is Aircom or Daichi, they are based for JVs out of India. So we are dealing with a single geography of India as far as we are concerned. Even Unity Automation is India-based, so this is geography single. We have two units in the UK, and we are exporting to different geographies like UK, Mexico, Canada, North America, and Brazil also currently also. So from a geography, our exports are more into these different geographies. Manufacturing based on just basically India and the U.K.
Okay, sir. Understood, understood. Understood. Sir, and with the CapEx plan of 100 crores that you mentioned, right, how do we view our net debt trajectory for the future? Do we see any more leveraging with balance sheet?
No, not much. There are different ways of raising capital. We are looking at them. We intend to have debt equity ratio to between 0.6 and 0.8 going forward.
Okay. Okay, sir. Sir, and with the 12 crore order for BEE lighting, what strategy are we looking at? Do we want to be specialized in the design and engineering field, or do we want to set a full-scale lighting manufacturing in India?
No, so this is not for India. This is for German auto OEM from our U.K. facility. This is the first order in design. The second, and once they're satisfied with that, the second and third could be into low volume manufacturing along with the design. So we are trying to slowly progress. So we already have the low volume manufacturing. We do not intend to get into high volume manufacturing, but low and medium volume is our sweet spot from that location. A high margin, low and medium volume manufacturing.
Okay, understood. So my last question is, with the 30,000 sq ft facility that we have for railway applications, I believe the contracts over there are usually longer payment cycles. So do we expect any structural shift in our working capital days for that?
No, because it will be a mix between private and public enterprise. So on the private team, we generally work on advance or within the 32 payment cycle term. As for the public is concerned, if it's a direct tendering to the railways, the payments are secured. So we can always discount them and keep our working cycle content the same.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Kumar Saurabh from Scientific Investing. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Hello, am I audible? Okay.
Yes, you can.
Yes, yes. So congratulations on good set of numbers. I have a few questions. First one, observations. In the investor PPT slide 5 and slide 6, in one slide, it's mentioned our 900 revenue target in FY30, and another, it's mentioned FY29. I know businesses are not standard, don't run in that way, but still, is it FY29 or FY30? If you can just confirm again.
It's between FY29 and FY30 somewhere. It's not, so I mean, it's not something written in stone. I mean, it's the future. We don't. We can't look so much forward, but it's somewhere between FY29, but mostly FY30, then we should be there.
Got it, got it, got it. Next question, sir, on the Astro Motor. I think in one of the presentations, you have mentioned about FY31 or FY33 market size opportunity, 30,000 crore plus. But I think Astro Motor products are on B2B. So a few questions on the business. If you can elaborate a little bit on what is your vision on this business in terms of what is the relevant TAM, what kind of market share we want to have over 4-5 years, and what is our current revenue margin, and how do you see scaling up in the long term? If you can give some qualitative and data insights about it.
That business is concerned, I would rather give a little more guidance in the next call rather than this call.
Sure, sure. And third question, sir, on the Magal Cables, last year has not been good. So how are things going on right now, and how do you see FY27 playing out?
Sorry, which cables?
Magal Cables, the UK acquisition we have done in 2020.
Right. So this year should be stable. We should not expect a high growth. Some of the programs, specifically in the global EV sector, has been, which business was awarded to us. But they're looking to compensate that by awarding some more business, for which discussions are going on. So we are looking at a stable size right now. growth would come in within the next after this coming year, next year. Because apart from the cables, we are also looking at closing some other businesses for the unit, which will all start from 28.
Got it. And the last question, quite a few acquisitions which we have done, it's in Europe. And usually when we see the European automotive industry is not doing well, and despite of that, if we see basically our growth business has done very, very well, which is really commendable. But do you see any future risk on the, you know, all these acquired companies in the European market, given how European auto cycle is going on?
So most of our sales is not in Europe, it's outside Europe. It's in the US, Mexico, Canada region. A bit of sales is in Europe. That way we are secured, even though the European sector is a little slow. Our basic sales is outside Europe. For example, when we had the JLR cyber attack, the plant was shut for almost 3 to 5 months. It did affect the turnover and the thing. But since we were, you know, protected with the US sales, and UK already had the first treaty with the US, so that did not affect us in any way.
Sure, great. That's all I had, sir. Wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Chirag Shah from White Pine Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. Rahul, two questions. One, this India-US treaty that has been done. So can you just share some light on what products of our portfolio we stand at an advantage? Because it's largely versus China. If China is a competitor to our products, then we have a real advantage. Is this the understanding correct? And which are products from our portfolio where there is an advantage? And related to that, are there any discussions that were already going on with the US customers, or we will have to start it afresh now on that side?
No, so China is a competition for most of the suppliers globally, but we also face competition from the local manufacturers in the US and all the other global customers as well. However, as far as the US is concerned, we had won significant amount of businesses from there before the tariffs were put in place.
Okay.
None of the contracts were renegotiated. It continued to be the same. And with the tariff, getting abolished right now, it's a plus. We don't need to worry about that so much now. And our supplies will be starting quarter two of this year. So right now, after winning the business, we went into development phase. However, we will because of the tariff, a lot of new inquiries were put kind of on hold, which will start flowing in now. So, the next year and the year after that, all the future inquiries will definitely give a boost to that. But it did not affect any of our businesses that we were doing or we had materialized with the US.
So what products, if you can help summarize for it would be helpful. What products we export to US today? Of our portfolio, what all things get exported to US? From India?
Cables.
Cables, right? Only cables, nothing else.
Yes.
And any thought process of entering into making lightings in India and then exporting to US are not required because the duty is 10% between UK and US. So if at all UK would be used as a base.
Yes, it's better to supply from there at this point of time rather than incur a capex of investing into here, setting up a plant and looking to invest, because all your supplier network, everything has to be redeveloped.
Okay.
It's not going to add any value at this point of time.
And you are saying in control cables for us, China is a competitor in US?
Always. It's always been.
Or not really. Okay, let me rephrase. If China has a big share in export of control cable to either US or Mexico, or their share is not that significant?
They have a very big share. So wherever we win the business, we are eating into their share of business.
Okay. This is helpful. And would you like to call out the number of customers with whom there were inquiries coming across three, four, five customers before the tariff issue came across, RFQs or something like that?
Not at this point of time.
Because those customers again will restart to engage, correct? The customers before the...
Yes, true. But I would not like to put names on the board right now.
Not names, some qualitative number, whether it is one customer, existing customer, or there are more customers that you are interacting.
No, there are two or three customers. The value could be in the terms of 40 to 50 crores annually.
Okay.
So they were between two or three customers.
Okay. And last question from my side. Assuming that this ABS regulation, which is hanging, if it comes, what is the impact on our console revenue? Is it 5-7% of our console revenue gets affected because of that?
On the console revenue, about you could say 8% will get affected.
8% will get affected. And is there an alternate solution for us to, or not really?
No, we have already factored into that in our approach. And, you know, our projections are made with as if, you know, that's already been implemented. So we are already factoring in that if it comes in. If it doesn't come in, it will be a boost for us.
Okay. And in your assessment, when do you think it is like, because it has already got delayed. So when do you think the next possible date? Your guess will be better than ours.
I don't know. We keep asking the OEMs, when is your next meeting on this? And the meeting is also delayed. So we really don't know what the behind the scenes is happening, you know. Because this is a very sensitive topic and no one wants to give any, you know, dates or something to us, you know.
Okay, great.
They have this fear of risk of the suppliers behaving differently after they give some names, you know. So they rather refrain from giving anything.
And on the railways, would you, for the railways part of the, not the private part of business, but the railway part of business, the government part of the business, you will require this RDS for approval, right? Or you will not be requiring it? You will need that.
100% required. Even for the private sector, to be able to supply to the private sector.
You will require that approval. So that process takes how much time in your assessment? Assuming the product is ready today, then how much time it takes?
Certain products require field trial and certain products don't require field trial. So the ones that don't require field trial, no, still it has to go through a process of observation, which is about a 30 to 90 period observation cycle. And the ones which require field trial, this could be anywhere between 6 months to a year for field trial. So we have got various products which are not requiring field trial and some of which are requiring field trial. So, you know, when we plan for the long term, we are planning whatever products we plan is a mix of both. Certain RDS approvals have already been initiated and we are halfway through them already.
Okay. Great. Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Athar Sayyed from Smart Sync Services. Please go ahead. Mr. Sayyed, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello.
Yes, you are on.
Good afternoon, sir. Hello, sir. I would like to know about the order book. How much order book do we have as of now? And how much order do we have in our pipeline?
So our order book would be at least 500 crores at this point of time. And in the pipeline, we would be having at least order for about 800 to 900 crores. I mean, it's a very difficult in this industry, which is a continuously, it's not like a order wins for us. You know, we work on a schedule basis, we win the business and every year the schedules come in. So like I said, we have 500 crores of order at this point of time. And on the pipeline, if you see the next 2 or 3 years, we have about 800, 900 crores of orders.
Right now, we have how much in the pipeline?
500 crores.
Can you please throw some light on how our receivable dates work, like credit period and all?
I will refer this to my team.
Normally, for all the OEMs, we maintain the, I mean, receivable days at, I mean, 60 days. It's a payment cycle for all the OEMs. So basically, our receivable days is either balance sheet also comes from 55 to 56 days on an average.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ronit Kapoor from Investire Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So, my first question is regarding Mexico increasing the tariffs on auto ancillaries. So I want to know what is our exposure to Mexico and how will this affect us as such?
So we don't have any direct exposure to Mexico. So, it doesn't affect us in any way. We have our exposure to Mexico. Have such tariff barriers on them.
Okay. And secondly, I want to know is now with the EU FTA being finalized, how is the RFQ and inquiries and the new order inflows expected to increase from there? Like, can you give a ballpark number regarding that?
No, because it has just been signed. We are yet to find out from the industry what they feel about it. And it's not going to drastically, you know, suddenly some floodgates are going to open. It's not going to work like that. Looks because you know everybody has their suppliers. No one wants to change just because of one policy being signed. Because you see, a policy can be signed, it can be changed, it can be additional tariffs can be put at any point of time. So no one wants to take major reactions. So like although it's a good thing for us, but it'll be within the next 3 to 6 months where things will really unfold.
Okay, and. Thirdly, I want to know is regarding you're planning one more acquisition. So, which geographies are you looking at, and which specific sub-segments are you looking at, and any how much amount are you putting on hold for that acquisition?
The segment right now, which will give us the best value for product, and gives us a position globally with that product. We are putting aside about 60 to 70 crores for that acquisition. 50, maybe between 50 to 70 crores.
And any specific geography, Alex?
No, we are open right now. We are seeing which will give us the best, value for money in terms of ROI as well as the product. And the product should be, you know, fit in different geographies and not just one geography. So
any range of products are you looking at? Like, can you just give an example, like 2-3 product ranges as such? Like?
No, actually, we've kept ourselves pretty open. As you can see from our past acquisitions, also, it's been completely non-relatable products, also. So, we've kept ourselves pretty open. We just, you know, we're open to evaluate various products. So, people are coming up with various opportunities, and, you know, they're under evaluation right now. So, it'd be too early to give any. Answer right now on that.
Okay, and then regarding Astro Motors, I believe the company has cancelled the acquisition of the remaining stake. So, what is the future plan regarding that? Because
question was asked before also, and I said I would be in a better position to answer this in the next call because there are certain strategies we are underplaying for this. So, right now I would rather refrain from answering any questions on that and keep it for the next call.
Okay. Yeah. And lastly, what is the guidance are you looking at for FY27?
FY27 in terms of numbers, consolidated revenue. Somewhere between 520 to 570 crores, somewhere between that.
Okay, and the margin would be steadily improving. Like, it won't go to 14%. It'll go to 11% and 12%. It should go by next year.
Yes, somewhere. Yeah, steadily. It won't jump. It'll be on a steady increase.
And this is considering the acquisition or without the acquisition? Because
no, this is without the acquisition.
Okay, and the acquisition is how are you planning to fund it? Like, because would you be diluting more equity or like through debt? Like.
So we are evaluating all options at this point of time. Maybe part equity, part debt.
Okay, and this will be done at this year only or next year?
It depends on the acquisition that is presented to us. It could be any time. It could be this year, it could be next year, it could be the year after that. You know, it depends on the best opportunity that we get. Plus, the markets also need to be supportive at that point of the opportunity that we get.
Yes. Okay, thank you. That's it from us.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. Our next question comes from the line of Rohit Ohri from Progressive Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rahul. A couple of questions and some clarifications as well. First one, the clarification. In September 25, we mentioned about acquisition of 80,000 square feet area in NCR region. And today we are talking about addition of 20,000 more. So is it like, is it combined 80 plus 20? Is that what is the correct number at NCR?
No. So we had not given a guidance on acquisition. We had said that we're exploring an 80,000 square feet opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
However, with the industry scenario and some changes, we have bottled it down to 20,000, which will suffice for the next year. However, we will be going with another 20,000 somewhere in the Pune region also, so it will be a total of 40,000 going forward.
Okay. Any thoughts on what would be the purpose? Are you looking at the ADS or maybe EV systems or some advanced drivers or something? What exactly are you looking at? Or is it the customers or clients are asking you to establish a manufacturing unit closer to them or something like that?
No, so our product doesn't require to be next to the manufacturer.
Okay.
But the order which we already have, the space requirement to service them is that that's where we need the space.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For the Brazil Tech partnership, you mentioned that you're looking at some studying the market and trying to get some inroads into the market. But will you be looking at some acquisition over there or anything of that sort? Any development
difficult.
On that
side? Difficult okay. For an acquisition because it's not the easiest of territories to work in.
Mm-hmm.
With the legal laws and stuff. You know? So we would rather stay on a TA basis. Okay. Or a have a partner over there to do the front end work, that's very good.
Fine. Next question on the railway side. I know we had some products in the past, but it appears that you're working on some new products with some portfolio expansion. If you can take us through that, how many such products are in pipeline and how many are intended to be launched maybe in the next 6 or 8 quarters or something like that.
Yeah, so we're already working on air brake components, then we're working on slack adjusters, and we're working on air reservoirs in the pipeline as of now. Air brake components are a multiple of about 8 to 10 parts that will go into it. The CC audit has already been commenced for that. Slack adjuster audit is going to happen in the month of February. And the air reservoir audit will happen in the month of March. So by the time it goes into production, it could be 6 to 8 months by the time we see that going into production.
Okay. And does these products which are launched 8 to 10, do they limit us only to the domestic market or do we have opportunities in
no.
the export market?
No. So there are opportunities in the export market as well. All these products have opportunities in the export market as well. We're already talking to companies in this market. But we're getting our first primary objective is to get the RDS approval and get the product ready. And then we will, take it more forcefully to the export market.
Any number or revenue projection that you anticipate which you'd like to share with us?
For the railway segment, we should be clocking anywhere between 25 to 35 crores this year.
Okay. My last question is related to the defense segment. In Q4 FY25, we mentioned that we were working for some defense products or maybe developing something. If you can take us through that, what sort of development has happened over there, or is it currently stagnant, or some positive revenue generation can happen from there?
So all the projects that we worked on has a 2-year frame before it comes into production. Because you're not directly working with the government office, you're working with the larger defense, the companies which are supplying as a full vehicle that is being supplied to the defense. So the vehicle architecture and the building and the approvals and the testing, that's a long-term process. So like earlier also I said, it may not be very high revenue commensurate, but it's a, but you know, we take solace in the fact that we're doing something for the government and something good for the people of the country.
True, because I also remember the Prime Minister visiting one of her stalls, I think 6 or 8 months ago, in one of the expos. So that's the reason why this question came up.
Correct. He was more in terms of Atma Bharat, and where we have demonstrated a lot of products that we have brought from global technologies and domesticated to India.
Mm-hmm. In any numbers that could generate into revenues?
So we already generated some parts into revenue almost 10 to 15 CR in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking to add more products from our global partners into India and domestic, have it like, you know, Atmanirbhar with us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Rahul, that's all from my side. All the very best and thank you for answering all the questions. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Anukul from Invade. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So my first question is on the industry side, like how is the growth for IC engines versus the EV or hybrid side, and how is it going to be over the next couple of years?
So the ICE engines is predominantly going to be the largest market share over the next 10 years also. The EV engines are going to be maybe over the next 10 years, it could be between 20% to 25% of the market share as far as the passenger cars are concerned. On the two-wheeler side, also we don't see a bigger than a 30% inroads into the EV engines over the next 5 to 6 years at least. So as we talk to OEM, they have asked us to continue our investments into the ICE technology for different products as well and for the current products. But our products are pretty much agnostic to EV or ICE. You know.
All right, sir. Got it. So next year on the side, like we are guiding for a 900 crores, 1000 crores top line by FY 2029-30. So, what would be the mix through our legacy business versus our new age businesses? What could be the mix that we could hit in for?
So, I think 60% would still be the legacy business and 40% would be the new business.
Okay, and then the margins would be preferably on that front only, because I think legacy business has lower margins compared to the new.
So, we are doing a little product mix changes in this business as well, which will in turn give us a higher margin going forward.
Understood, sir. Got it. And lastly, one last question on the railway side. How do you see it becoming, will it be a meaningful contributor going forward in the next 5 to 6 odd years, or what it will be going forward?
Yeah, we're seeing at least over the next 3 to 4 years, it's touching itself about 150 crores of revenue.
Okay, got it, sir. Yeah, that's it from mine. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So, thank you everyone for joining this call. And I hope I've been able to answer most of the questions. I've tried to be most accurate and most honest in my answers. So with that, I would like to conclude my remarks, and we can wait for our next phone call.
Thank you. On behalf of Go India Advisors LLP, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.